Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Leanna Wojniak in for Faisal Karmali today, here with Dave Popowicz.
Well, Leanna, thanks for sitting in. Faisal couldn't be here today, and I appreciate you joining me for the show today. We've got a good show. Markets have been really volatile, mm-hmm. And there's lots of uncertainty around interest rates and mm-hmm. Inflation and the path of rate hikes and so on and so forth. And we're trying to make some sense of that, not just from an economics perspective, but how to profit and protect using multiple asset classes, right? Not just talking about maybe stocks or bonds, but what can you do beyond the traditional asset classes to either provide some defensiveness in your portfolio or look for ways to create opportunity.
That's right, and we've got the perfect guest to talk about that today. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michael Sager, who's been with us before. He's a vice president of the multi-asset and currency group at CIBC Asset Management. Michael, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, why don't we start with maybe just giving you a bit of an open end to give us your sense. We're, 2.5 months, I suppose, into the year. Maybe give us a sense of how you thought 2023 was shaping up and where we are at this point in time.
Well, from an economic perspective, I think we're still in that tricky world where if you look at some of the hard data, things like labor markets. We had US payrolls this morning, of course. Labor market data, household balance sheet data on income and consumption. It's been pretty resilient, and I think more resilient than we'd expected, most people had expected. And then on the other side of the coin, you've got leading indicators, things like consumer and business sentiment that's been consistent with recession for months now. You've got yield curves, which are really quite significantly inverted. Again, a classic lead indicator of recession. So good current conditions, but ominous forward looking. And then the question is, how do we resolve? We are of the opinion, we have been of the opinion, that we're headed for a mild recession, whether it's Canada, the US, Europe. And the common theme, the thing that resolves that contradiction between the good hard data and the poor leading indicators are central banks. So the Fed is going to keep policy relatively tight, perhaps a little bit tighter through the first half of this year until inflation really starts to decelerate a lot more. Haven't seen it yet. And so the bias on the Fed is to keep squeezing. And so that's how we resolve from, okay economy right now to a mild recession in perhaps Q2 or in the summer. It's all about central banks still.
So, Michael, if we go to the inflation idea for a second, I would say consensus in the market is that we're going to see inflation starting to fall, and it might even start to fall fairly aggressively in the first half of this year towards the middle of the year. And some of that has to do with the base effect, year-over-year measurements, and so on and so forth. Is your opinion, are you consensus on this, that we are anticipating to see that fall down into that 3-4% range from where we are today?
Yeah, top end of 3 would be where we are. There's going to be two parts to this inflation slowdown. The easy part, that's what we're doing at the moment. You talked about base effects. That's going to be driving the first part of the disinflation. So we go down into the high 3s. The hard part, and that's where the central banks have got to earn their money, is to get us from high 3s down closer to policy targets, which are 2%. That's difficult because there you've got to force unemployment rates up. You've actually got to meaningfully slow economic activity. You can't just rely on base effects. So we're in the easy part, the hard part's to come, and that's why central banks are gonna keep policy tight for a long time.
So for our listeners who are going to the grocery stores every day and seeing their grocery bills just continuing to go up and up, what kind of key pieces of data are we looking for, or should we be, or were we waiting to hear about in order to indicate a turn there when it comes to inflation?
I think, Leanne, the key ones are in the service sector, so things like rents. Rents are sticky. They don't, you know, the trend doesn't shift much. And they've been strong. So the inflation in rents, as we all know, has been very strong. That's going to take time to turn around. So that's a big one. So I would focus there on the service sector. Goods, you know, sometimes you get inflation, sometimes you get dis or even deflation. Again, goes back to base effects. But service sector inflation sticks around and needs some effort from central banks.
Michael, is there a scenario under which you could see? So we hear about there's a hard landing and the soft landing. That's language that's been kicked around for a long time. And then there's this idea of a no landing, I would say, has sort of come up over the past month or so. Is there a scenario that you can see under which employment can stay relatively strong? I think unemployment is going to increase a little bit, but employment stays strong and we see wage inflation start to come down and in effect create a scenario where there is this no landing. We just maybe slow growth, but we're not going to move into recession or any mild or deep recession. Is there a scenario that you can see with that?
Yeah, I guess that used to be called sort of the Goldilocks, not too fast, not too slow in terms of growth, not too fast to generate inflation, not too slow to cause a recession. It's very difficult. At the moment, for instance, profit margins have started to narrow. It would be a strange world where if that trend continues, corporates don't reduce their employment, their labor force. It would be a strange world also where, you know, at the moment, demand for labor is pretty strong. A strange world where suddenly wages just stop going up or wage inflation becomes very moderate. There's no catalyst for either of those things to happen. And so we're much more in the camp that, you know, the longer that growth remains good, the more policymakers are going to have to do, because you're building in more and more imbalances within economies. So you might prolong the pain and get some short-term gain, but ultimately, no, we think you've got to have an adjustment.
Okay, so it is the sort of the traditional playbook that that you believe has to play out here to take some of that demand out and bring down that imbalance and ultimately bring inflation down. Okay, that's good. We're gonna have to take a quick break here, but when we come back from the break, Michael, I'd like to, with the context that you've just provided us, talk a little bit about then how we position through this year, because there could be a couple of phases to this year, and perhaps we can talk about not only how to protect but profit. And Leanne asked a good question: what will you look for to get more bullish? So that'll be after the break. But Leanne, before we go to break, we've got our monthly seminar coming up, and so as you listen to Michael and the complexity of the situation, the complexity is unique to today, but this complexity happens all the time with whatever crisis or problem, you know, or issue that the economy might be facing. And so since retirements are longer than a year or two, right, they mm-hmm. are multi-decade, hopefully, mm-hmm. We have to have a strategy and a structure that helps us get through all of these different periods of time.
That's right. And we'll be talking about that kind of structure on our next seminar, Tuesday, March 21st, 7 p.m. We're doing it live in person at the Four Points by Sheraton here in Calgary. Now, you need to register, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com to do that.
Okay, join us after the break for more discussion with Michael Sager and talk about how to profit and protect in this very complicated environment. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.